in the state to be part of this revived 287G program. Now, what that program is essentially the Immigration and Customs Enforcement. They deputize or they work with local agencies to enforce immigration law. There's three different ways that agencies can be involved in this, and Cass and Itasca counties both signed on as task force agencies. So essentially that what this means is that they can perform, they can enforce immigration law in the course of their regular police work. So both of the sheriffs I spoke to, you know, they were pretty adamant that they would only be doing this if they were basically dealing with someone who they already suspected of, you know, criminal behavior, and not going out and doing raids or anything you think of in that respect. But that being said, I mean, I spoke with an attorney at the ACLU, an immigration attorney who's been practicing immigration law for nearly 30 years, and he saw the last iteration of this program that was actually shut down by the federal government itself during the Obama administration because of profiling concerns and the liability that states and local governments open themselves up to by having these local officers enforce law that is very complex and also rife with potential for constitutional violations, due process violations, things of that nature. So, you know, but that being said, you know, both the sheriffs also noted that this is not a common issue that they run across, yet there was a recent example that they could point to, the grandparent scam that we reported on and you may have heard about that occurred in Itasca County, St. Louis County area, where there was at least two individuals that were involved in basically tricking some people into believing that their grandchild was under arrest, had caused some kind of accident, needed bail money, and actually made a phone call pretending to be the grandchild to these people and then showed up in person to take thousands of dollars of cash from them. One of those individuals, according to Dasovich, is undocumented. And the Duluth News Tribune did report that that person, you know, told authorities he was from Colombia and was concerned about being deported. So we had this recent example of someone who was likely an undocumented immigrant who was involved in, you know, aiding and abetting this forgery that was occurring here in our area. So that's what they say, that they want those extra tools in the toolbox in order to assist with that type of situation.
A lot of work on that. It's an extensive story, and it's available at our website at kaxe.org. We've run out of time. There's so many other stories. I recommend folks sign up for the podcast of the Up North Report or check throughout the day. There's changing stories going on at our website. Chelsea, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you, Heidi. Thanks Kari.
Chelsea. You're listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji. We are Northern Community Radio, telling the stories of the people and land of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Operating translator K210DR in Brainerd at 89.9. Listen at KAXE.org or on your smart speaker. We need people like you to support this local media. Text the word donate to 218-326-1234.
Coming up, we are going to be talking about luck. That is our topic, our question of the week. We're talking with one of our listeners about that. We've also been getting some more texts in on book recommendations. We heard from Linda, who said, I recently read Blackwood's Blue Sky by, how do you say that name?
Awen
Ivey. Also wrote The Snow Child. She combined spiritual experience along with very unusual plot about a man who is half grizzly. Not for everyone, for sure, but it's very imaginative.
We also heard from Eli from Cloquet, book recommendation, How to Do Nothing, Resisting the Attention Economy by Jenny Odell. Great book about how to maintain focus in a world with never-ending distractions, notifications, and information coming at us from every direction. Whoa, timely, Eli. That is tying right into our conversation that we'll be having this morning about video game addiction and just screen time in general, which certainly ties into that focus. But that sounds like a really interesting book. We'd love to get your recommendations. We've heard from a great number of folks on what they're reading, and we'd love to hear from you. Text 218-326-1234. We receive support from Buckhorn on Caribou Lake, featuring five handcrafted log cabins in the Chippewa National Forest, just north of Grand Rapids, offering fishing, swimming, and hiking on site. Rates and information at buckhornoncaribou.com.
So tight, the moon was swooning. Mm-hmm. And I made my way by street light, and I'll see you soon.
A good song for a sunny morning.
It is.
That's the first day of spring.
First day of spring. That's Lady Blackbird, Like a Woman. And it's going to be a nice spring day today. It'll be temperatures 45 to about 50 degrees, a little breezy from the southwest, 10 to 25 miles per hour.
We've been talking about our question of the week, which is we want to know about a time where luck was on your side. We have joining us now Eli Sager. Eli, you've got a story. Luck was on your side at one point, huh?
It sure was. Yeah, I remember about 10 or 12 years ago when my dad turned 65. My dad was an Ironman triathlete, and he told my sister and me that for his 65th birthday, he wanted us, the three of us, to do an event together. I had never done a triathlon. He didn't specify what kind of event. My sister and I were both, hey, it's his birthday. Let's do this. So we ended up doing, it wasn't an Ironman. We ended up doing a shorter triathlon with him. But I had to borrow his bike because it was a long way from home, and I flew to this event. It was an unfamiliar bike, and we're in the middle of the bike part of the triathlon, and I'm going down a long hill. And much too late, only near the bottom of the hill, did I realize there's a pretty sharp S-turn in the road. And I saw this turn coming, and I was flying. My GPS watch showed me going 42 miles an hour. Ooh. And there was no way I could make this turn. So I hit the brakes, and my bike started to slide a bit, and to my unbelievable good luck, I drifted to the right side of the road, went off the road. There was no ditch. There was just a nice, smooth, grassy lawn. I got off the road. My wheels went out from under me, and I just slid, just like I was sliding into second base, slid and slid on this grassy lawn and came to a nice, gentle stop about 5 feet in front of a tree. And somehow, miraculously avoided, you know, avoided the guardrail, which started about, I don't know, 5 or 10 feet from the spot I went off the road at 42 miles an hour. Avoided, there were no rocks, there were no trees, and came to a gentle stop. And I just have no right, no real, I mean, very lucky that I'm even alive right now to crash a bike at 42 miles an hour. So that's my story.
And that you didn't crash into anyone else. I mean, there are so many things right. that could have happened. That's, I kind of have the chills actually listening to that.
Me too. When I'm on my bike and whenever I see a guardrail,
yeah.
I kind of get shivers. Yeah, so, it was a lucky moment.
Did you just get back on the bike?
How shook were you after that?
It took me a minute because when I slid, when the wheels went out from under me and I kind of went down on my side, I hit my head fairly hard too. And of course, I had a helmet on. And I got up and I thought, oh, well, you know, this was a fun thing to try for my dad. But, you know, it was fun while it lasted, but I'm done. And then I got up and I you know, thought, well, maybe, am I not injured? Am I okay? Or is it, you know, do I actually have a broken arm and it's just adrenaline? And I kind of did a once over of my body and thought, okay, I think maybe I'm all right. Could I get back into this race? And then I picked up my bike and kind of turned the pedals, and does the bike still work, or did I wreck the bike? And first I thought, you know, the wheel wouldn't turn, and then I realized, no, wait a minute, it's just that there's a clod of grass in the, you know, in the brake mechanism, and I pulled that out, and the bike worked. And so, yeah, I was able to miraculously finish the race, and it was wild.
That's incredible, Eli.
Yeah, did your life flash before your eyes, or was it too fast?
You know, in that moment, I can't say that happened.
Yeah.
No, but I sure thanked my lucky stars. My goodness, when I got up from that. And it was funny, too, because I finished the race with a massive, you know, grass and mud stain down the whole side of my shirt and shorts. And, yeah, it was, I got some funny looks, you know, during the run portion of that when I was going by.
Yeah. Well, I bet your dad was proud of you.
Yeah, he was just glad I didn't destroy his bike.
Right. Expensive birthday gift that he had to pay for.
Right.
Well, thanks, Eli. We love hearing your story of luck. And if you have one, we'd love to hear from you. You can text us 218-326-1234.
Thank you. This is the Thursday morning show. Coming up, we're going to be talking about video game addiction and screen time and mental health. Stay tuned for that conversation.
We receive support from North Homes Children and Family Services, providing compassionate mental health services to children and families at home, school, and in the community. More information at northhomes.org.
Desdemona, where do I begin? Who among us here is without sin? I'm just a lonesome drifter on the only highway. Lean on me, brother, 'cause I understand. You got that 9-pound hammer swinging in your hand. I'm just a lonesome drifter on the only highway. I'm just a lonesome drifter on the only highway. Everybody's working in them cotton fields just a little bit different than it used to feel. Everybody's waiting on that rising sun to drop down, turn red, and be done. spying on you, baby, you're not the only one. Feeling it rising, steady rising up, rising on you.
This is the set list on KAXC, where we highlight live music around the area for the upcoming week. I'm Malachi Coons. We are looking at March 21st and 22nd, Friday and Saturday this week, with shows in Gilbert, Chisholm, Park Rapids, and Duluth. Starting things off with Mark Joseph this Friday at the Ore House in Gilbert. The singer, guitarist, and Big Woo member is known for his soulful Americana and rootsy rock. The show this Friday will be a tribute to the music of Cat Stevens, with Joseph performing his 1970 album Tea for the Tillerman in full. It's this Friday, 8 p.m. at the Ore House in Gilbert. On Saturday, Morning Bird will be in Chisholm, playing Jim's Sports Club at 6 p.m. Jill Burks and Rob Wheeler have recently added a rhythm section to their folk rock sound, Jim Pietola on drums and Shane Kingsland on bass. This will be their second show with the full band, Morning Bird, this Saturday, 6 o'clock in Chisholm. At 7 on Saturday, Forge North will be at the Armory Arts and Events Center in Park Rapids. Led by singer and songwriter Charlie Wagner, they are a rootsy Americana jam band from Longville, with heartfelt songs inspired by the nature of northern Minnesota. Alongside Wagner are multi-instrumentalist Tristan Schultz, pedal steel player Matt Gutzman, and brothers Garrett and Grant Radatz on keys and drums. At the same time, two Grammy Award-winning country artists will be in Duluth at the Amsoil Arena. Dwight Yoakam, who released his first album in 1986 and most recently Brighter Days in 2024, has won praise for his authentic Bakersfield and alt-country sound. Joining him in Duluth are the Mavericks, known for their eclectic style that draws from Tejano, 50s pop, and more, and for the deep voice of lead singer Raul Malo. Dwight Yoakam and the Mavericks in Duluth this Saturday. The set list is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
You hear the set list on the KAXC Morning Show. I'm Heidi Holton with Kari Hedlund. Thanks for tuning in today. We are expecting the day to be sunny with highs 45 to 50. Breezy winds becoming southwest 10 to 25 and evening lows in the mid-20s to low 30s. A slight chance for flurries tonight and tomorrow morning early. Mostly cloudy tomorrow and highs 31 to 41 degrees.
We receive support from Clocko Brewing Company in Grand Rapids, who are continuing their Sunday Funday events each weekend. Last Sunday of the month is Open Mic with Diddy Wish, where the stage opens up to the community's art, whether it be music, comedy, or anything else. More info at ClockoBrewing.com. Support also comes from Sanford Health, with primary locations in Bemidji and across the upper Midwest. Sanford Health is committed to providing care close to home. Learn more at sanfordhealth.org.
Coming up at 8:30, it is the Up North Report, the latest news from our region. And at 9 o'clock, DJ Dang for Headwaters. Lots of things going on in our region, and that includes University of Minnesota Extension. They are presenting Fridays with the Forester. It's an online series each Friday at 9 a.m. now through the end of April. These informal sessions will feature a different topic every week. You can learn more and register. Visit z.umn.edu/Fridays2025.
Rife Theater Arts in Grand Rapids presents Newsies Junior March 21st through the 23rd. Tickets and showtimes are at rifecenter.org.
And the Northwoods Friends of the Arts in Cook is presenting entries from their annual photo contest, A Shot in the Dark. now through March 28th. The gallery's open Thursday and Friday, 10 to 4, Saturdays from 9 to 1.
Heidi, have you ever seen the movie Newsies with Christian Bale? It's like
early. I never watched that.
I'm finding that this is one that I don't know that it was very widespread.
Yeah, I remember
not a lot of people watched it.
Yeah, I mean, I remember. Oh, I know who it was. It was Erica Coda was obsessed with that movie.
I was as well.
Yeah,
I know that soundtrack. I still probably could sing it. I sing to my kids every single day that I wake them up and open the curtains. Open the gates and seize the day. Because that's like one of the big songs that they sing.
Nice.
So I reference it a lot. And but it's been interesting knowing that a lot of people my age like didn't watch it. And I was listening to Andrew and Heather talk on Wednesday, like they are movie buffs.
Yeah. Oh,
and
boy.
I feel like so uneducated when it comes to movies listening to them talk. So I'll sit and talk about Newsies.
Sure. There we go. Yeah, they were talking about funny movies yesterday, right?
Yeah, I know. And I haven't seen any of them that they were talking. I was like, Tommy Boy? That's my favorite.
That's all right. There's nothing wrong with that one. I would say...
there isn't. I love it.
Best in Show is one that still gets me.
Oh, yes.
That makes me laugh.
Yeah. You are listening. It isn't the Wednesday morning show today. It's the Thursday morning show. And each day offers a little something different. And Mondays, we talk a lot about events up north and what's happening for the week. Tuesdays, of course, phonology based. Wednesdays, lots of culture going on there.
Mm-hmm. Arts,
movies, music, arts.
Plants. Yeah.
Yes. The gardening conversation yesterday was also very exciting. Mm-hmm. And I learned something new. I just got my own prickly pear cactus when I was visiting a friend in Austin. She sent me home with a leaf, or what are they called on cactuses? Cacti?
Yeah, I don't know.
A palm?
I don't know.
Anyway, I've planted one, and okay. Jim Gallagher sent in a question. So I learned something new about that. So that was a very insightful conversation for me. Thursdays, we talk books, politics.
That's right.
News.
That's right. And Fridays, we talk sports and all, who knows what. Also
breakfast.
Local news. Yeah.
Yeah. Each day gives you a little different flavor here on KAXE People Powered Radio. Thank you for listening and for supporting us. We also want to thank our business supporters like Beltrami Electric Cooperative, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, providing energy to keep lights on, coffee hot, and batteries charged. Connecting communities, empowering life in northern Minnesota for more than 80 years. More at BeltramiElectric.com.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Layla Faldin.
And I'm A. Martinez. Who doesn't love a good underdog story? Year after year, the NCAA basketball tournament usually delivers with a Cinderella team emerging from the pack. That's a low-seeded team that, against all odds, continues to win and knock off better teams. But can these teams be made, or is it all just luck? Martenzie Johnson of ESPN's Antscape is on the line with us to talk about this. So, Martenzie, what are the qualities of a great Cinderella story?
Good morning, A. I have a few theories on how, you know, a Cinderella can get through, right? I think, first of all, you have to have a star player who just shines when, you know, the lights are the brightest. So you think of Steph Curry in 2008, kind of the legend of him is born at Davidson when they get to the Final Four. Or even last year, Oakland with Jack Golkey, who made 16 three-pointers over the two games that Oakland got through. Speaking of three-pointers, you have to make three-pointers, right? So Oakland made a lot of those. They made 15 team versus Kentucky, which is how they upset the number one seed last year. And then, you know, you can go back to 2018. Loyola never shot below 38% from three. So you got to make those threes. And then you got to play defense, right? Because if you can't limit the other team, then you have absolutely no chance because you're kind of outmanned there. And St. Peter's did that, I think, in 2022, where they, when they played Kentucky and Purdue, they never allowed either of them to shoot over 30% from threes. And lastly, I think the real key to being a Cinderella is you got to play Purdue or Kentucky, right? Kentucky lost his 14 seed Oakland in 2024. They lost to a 15 seed St. Peter's in 2022. And then Purdue lost to a 16 seed in 2023. They lost to a 15 seed in 2022. And then they lost to a 13 seed North Texas in 2021. Now, that all being said, Purdue did go to the national championship last year. But if you play those two teams, you got a really good chance.
Well, so high point. 13 seed playing 4 seed Purdue. I mean, and you got to have a cool name to be a Cinderella story too. High Point. I mean, what a team name. That looks like a winner right there.
Yeah, so they have one of the qualifications. I didn't mention this, but you got to be able to rebound too. So if you can get second chance points for yourself, obviously that leads to more points, right? But then you can limit the second chance points to the other team as well. And High Point is the 24th ranked team in the nation when it comes to rebounding. That might not sound like a lot, right? But there are over 100 teams that we're talking about here. So that's pretty good for a really low seed. And they can make three-pointers. Now, granted, Purdue can defend that pretty well, but this is March. They call it March Madness. You never really know. So High Point has a really good chance.
My cousin told me that we should root for Drake University because the rapper Drake had such a tough time against Kendrick Lamar in his battle. So we should root for that Drake instead.
Yeah, see, hey, we haven't talked hip-hop really in a few times that I come on. I'm not the biggest Drake fan, so I got to go against your cousin here. They might have a chance, but when you're named Drake in 2025, it's not looking too good for you.
All right, so any team in particular you have your eye on to be the Cinderella story?
Yeah, actually watching last night, Mount St. Mary, who played American University. I know this is going to sound crazy because Duke is one of the few teams we've heard about this year, and they're number one seed. But Cooper Flagg did hurt his ankle during the conference tournament. The Duke still won without him in the championship, but he's hobbled. And St. Mary's, out of all these Cinderella teams, I got to tell you, A, they do the basics right. They can make layups. They don't look awkward shooting three-pointers. They can make three-pointers. And one thing that, you know, a lot of teams that we're talking about here have in common is that they have a lot of juniors and seniors, and Mount St. Mary has that.
They play together. That means they're a stronger team, right? Martenzie Johnson of ESPN's Anscape, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm A. Martinez.
And I'm Layla Faldin. Did you almost forget your name there?
Almost. A?
You're listening to Morning Edition from National Public Radio here on KAXE. Thank you for listening this morning. KAXE's Board of Directors meets the fourth Monday of every month. If you have questions or are interested in joining the board, contact us 218-326-1234 during business hours. Full meeting schedule is available at kaxe.org.
We did get another text that came in, Pam from Rockford. Oh, it was letting us know that Ted Lasso is returning for season 4, which I did already know. I've got to break the news to Chris Walker. I felt pretty good about that because I know he loves Ted Lasso like I do.
Didn't season 3 just come out?
No, that was...
How did it end? Did I watch season 3? Maybe don't tell me how it ended, actually.
Okay.
That's not a good way to ask.
I have seen that they are recasting his son because of the age.
Like, are they going to try to keep him young?
He's going to be...
Or too much time has passed. He's probably like a senior in high school now.
Yeah.
Okay, I see. Okay, so I ended it where he was contemplating leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
The end? I'm not missing a season?
He did leave.
Okay. Then I'm missing a season. I need to watch a season, I think.
I don't think so. I mean, I think that's what you would have gotten from the end of that.
Okay.
Like, go back to home in Kansas. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Well, he was contemplating leaving his position.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I mean, we'll double check on that.
I'll double check. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm way behind on everything else. Do you watch Severance?
No, I don't.
Okay.
You like it?
Liked the first season a lot. We're only 2 episodes into the second season. I'm trying not to. I've heard things about the second season, and I'm trying not to let that inform my thoughts on this one yet. But it seeped into my dreams the other night in that I was like in it was a really weird. Anyway, if you've watched Severance and you understand that would be a strange sort of dreamish to have. I won't tell you about my dream because I don't want you at all to fall asleep.
Okay. I have a friend who recently said we were all together for a weekend and I woke up and was like telling them what dream I had. It was about one of the people. And she goes, "Oh, that was pretty good." I hate hearing people's dreams.
It's the worst.
They're so boring. You know, and I was like, yeah, you're right. She goes, but that one I didn't mind hearing. And of course, saying that right now, I don't remember what it was.
No, of course not. That's the crazy part about dreams. Have you ever had those where you dream about someone, but you don't realize it until you see that person? And you're like, oh.
Yeah, like I feel weird
That was
now.
Disturbing.
Yeah, and if it's someone you don't know well, too, that feels very strange. I am hearing so many people talk about White Lotus right now.
Oh, I know. I want to watch
Posey.
It. Is she's like everyone loves her on
yeah.
this.
Yeah. I did watch some of the beginning first season of that show, and it just didn't stick with me. I didn't keep going.
Now, is this a show that where it like sort of changes characters and changes actors each season too? Or
I think so. It takes place at a hotel.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't
know.
And I'm very
know.
Excited that I saw the news that Jeff Daniels is going to be joining the cast of Shrinking.
Oh.
The show with Jason Segel and yeah. Harrison Ford. And so that's kind of exciting. And written by Jason Segel and Brett Goldstein from Ted Lasso. He's also in that show now.
Is in Shrinking?
Mm-hmm.
And they write it together?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Well, you know, Brett Goldstein, you know,
yes.
he was a writer for Ted Lasso
right.
and got kind of convinced them. All of a sudden it was like, oh, wait a minute, this is me.
Yeah.
So I think whenever you hear him in an interview, he's surprised that he played the part in the role.
Roy Kent is the best.
Roy Kent.
Yes. Okay. So those are good. I think I told you that. I just heard from JJ who said, yo, Severance, Kari is severed.
Is that the thing? Is that what you say?
Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
You sever yourself to go. You sign up to be severed, which means that you go into this work environment, but you don't remember anything about what you do
yeah.
at work. Like you don't know what you're doing at work. And even when you're at work, you don't know what the job is actually.
Oh boy. Wow.
It's really messed up. Okay, so he also had some information about White Lotus. Each season takes place at a different White Lotus hotel around the world, and every season has a different cast, kind of.
Oh, okay.
Do you know? Want to know what other one I watched while I was flying the other day? When I, you know, like
I do wanna know.
Where they give you a snippet of some episodes.
Yeah,
Hacked or Hacks?
I love Hack.
Hack?
Hacks. Yeah, okay. I think Hack. I can't. I love that. I've seen all of those. Jean Smart is amazing.
She is so good in it.
Hacks.
And I don't know the young actress. She's good though.
You know, she is the daughter of Lorraine Newman from the original cast of Saturday Night Live.
Oh, no way.
Yep.
Okay.
It's a great show. Really well written. That was one I really enjoyed too.
Yeah. I only got to see a couple of the episodes, but I would definitely watch more.
We're also continuing to take your stories about a time where luck was on your side. Craig texted in. He said, not a life or death stroke of luck, but topical. He says, I don't follow college basketball, but every year I enter our office March Madness pool where the prize is lunch with the boss. I go buy seeds and flip a coin, literally, for closer seeds. 2 years ago, I had a hot coin and I ended up 478 out of 20 million brackets.
Holy
on ESPN.
Smokes, Craig, that is lucky. From a flip of a coin. I love that story. We've been talking luck this week with St. Patrick's Day. It's our KAXE question of the week. Tell us about a time where you found yourself lucky. Text 218-326-1234.
For KAXE News, I'm Larissa Donovan with the Up North Report. This edition of the Up North Report includes reports that involve details that may be upsetting for some listeners. State Senator Justin Eichhorn has been charged at both the state and federal levels for allegedly attempting to solicit a person under 18 for prostitution. Chelsea Perkins has the details.
Criminal complaints filed Wednesday state that the 40-year-old Grand Rapids Republican representing Senate District 6 responded to an online ad offering prostitution services. The ad was posted by an undercover Bloomington police officer as part of an operation involving multiple law enforcement agencies. Between March 11th and March 17th, Eichhorn allegedly sent text messages to a number listed in one of those ads seeking paid sex. The officer's online persona communicated rates at Eichhorn's request, according to the complaint. The officer then told Eichhorn she was 17 years old at least twice over the course of multiple text conversations. Eichhorn reportedly discussed age of consent, asked for pictures, and also inquired how much extra it would cost for sex without a condom. Eichhorn was arrested by Bloomington officers on Monday at an agreed-upon location without incident. And officers located two cell phones, a condom, and $129 cash. He was transported to the Hennepin County Jail Tuesday evening and will make his first court appearance at 1:30 p.m. Thursday. His bail amount was set at $75,000. Calls for Eichhorn's resignation have come from both sides of the aisle in Minnesota, and the story has made national news, including in the New York Times. As of Wednesday afternoon, Eichhorn had not heeded those calls. For more details from the complaints from local and federal law enforcement, find our story at KAXE.org. Chelsea Perkins, KAXE News.
The Rockridge High School Dean of Students was arrested Tuesday following a child exploitation investigation. Iron Range Today reports 51-year-old Christopher Chad was booked into the St. Louis County Jail and is awaiting extradition to Georgia, where he faces felony charges. The St. Louis County Sheriff's Office says their office received information from the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension regarding cyber tips involving child exploitation. Cyber tips are received by the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children when an electronic service provider detects child exploitation material on their networks. The Sheriff's Office says there is no information to indicate there are any local victims or that any students at Rockridge High School are involved. Essentia Health, Fairview Health, and the University of Minnesota have agreed to engage in renewed discussions about the future of academic medicine in the state. Attorney General Keith Ellison made the announcement in a news release on Wednesday. The release states that at the AG's request, the parties will discuss a path forward for a partnership convened by a strategic facilitator. Essentia and the U of M began publicly floating ideas of a new nonprofit partnership earlier this year, with a stated goal of finding ways to improve healthcare in the state and support the university's training programs. The Star Tribune reports that Minneapolis-based Fairview has balked at the U's proposal. Ellison's office will select the facilitator with the party's input, and the parties will be responsible for the costs. The AG's office says the facilitator will ensure that the talks promote Minnesotans' public interest. State law gives Ellison the authority to review healthcare transactions and over charitable organizations. Essentia Health leaders have said this new nonprofit entity would be of particular benefit to rural and tribal communities. Bemidji High School's mock trial team will be honored by genuine district court judges Thursday in recognition of their advancement to the state competition. Beltrami Judge Annie Clausen-Huseby says mock trial is a, quote, opportunity for courthouses across the state to open their doors to the leaders of tomorrow. Run by the Minnesota State Bar Association, mock trial is a statewide competition in which teams of 8 to 14 students simulate real trials, learning about the judicial branch and the complexities judges, lawyers, and juries face when presenting and considering a case. The Bemidji High School team was undefeated leading up to the state tournament, winning 5 of its trials, including tackling a case of a fictitious murder on the Boundary Waters. They placed 7th in the state tournament earlier this month out of 16 schools. That's it for the Up North Report. Find more of our stories at KAXE.org, where you can also find content from our music, morning show, and Phonology teams. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Larissa Donovan, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is sponsored by Woodland Bank, dedicated to serving local businesses, families, and nonprofits in our area since 1920. You can find more information online at woodland.bank.
This is why I don't want it now. It's in my
This is why I don't spring for love. That is new music from Saya Gray, a Japanese-Canadian musician out with a new album called just simply Saya. I love that song. And you're listening to the Thursday Morning Show coming up at 9. It is more great music for you with DJ Dang as your host on Headwaters. Then at 11 o'clock, it is the World Cafe. Today, they are talking with the Head and the Heart. And at 1 o'clock, Judy Gruey is your host for On the River. We want to thank the Itasca Economic Development Corporation for their support of programming, creating and retaining quality jobs in Itasca County through education, research, and connections with businesses, working to help grow small businesses of all sizes and strengthen our local workforce. Learn more at itascadv.org.
And thanks also goes out to Minnesota Power, an elite company envisioning a carbon-free future through their energy forward strategy. More at mnpower.com/energyforward.
Lake Bemidji State Park is presenting a program on maple syruping this Saturday at 2 o'clock. And also on Saturday, the Bemidji Public Library and Lake Bemidji State Park present a recipe swap and discussion of the Good Berry Cookbook. It's at 2 o'clock at the library. The state park's resident artists and residents will assist in decorating recipes as well. Decorating recipes. What does that mean? Do you know?
No.
Okay.
I didn't see that.
I don't know what that means. If you know what that means, let us know. Love to hear.
Okay.
I don't know how to decorate well. I can make things taste really good, but yeah, it's not going to look super pretty.
No, it never looks good for me, actually. we're going to take a listen right now to one of the phenology reports that came in this week. This is from our friends, kind of a newer school for us, from Cherry.
Hi, this is Grayson.
Easton.
Natalie.
Nevaeh. Reporting from Cherry School. I am Jackson Road, Minnesota. March 17th.
We have been noticing that the temperatures have been going above and below freezing. There have been a light snowfall, but not much on the ground. We are hearing more birds overall.
On March 11th, Ethan saw two trumpeter swans for the first time this year on a pond near Elbow Creek. He sees them every year and thinks they are the same pair. On March 12th, Easton noticed a mountain lion walking on the train tracks near Highway 5. On March 13th, Grayson saw 13 deer on his way to school.
On March 13th, Adam saw and heard a chickadee chirping in his neighbor's tree. On March 14th, Miss Ufferty saw about four Canadian geese on Longyear Lake and a group of three trumpeter swans flying above Chisholm. A couple days later, on March 16th, she saw a robin sitting in a tree.
On March 12th, during our walk in the school forest, we noticed there was a tiny bit of pollen on a speckled alder. The catkins turned dark red. You could flick them and there would be a tiny cloud of pollen. This concludes our phenology report. This has been
Grayson,
Easton.
Natalie. Nevaeh.
Reporting from Cherry School.
Nature rules!
Nature does rule.
It sure does, especially on this first day of spring. What are you doing to celebrate spring being here? It is a sunny morning outside, and we hope you are able to get out and enjoy it a little bit. We have temperatures currently. It is still chilly, even though it's sunny. Bemidji at 22 degrees with some cloud cover. Grand Rapids at 22. Hibbing 20. Aiken 24. Park Rapids 21. And Brainerd at 22 degrees. It's going to be about 45 to 50 today, though.
Coming up next, we've got more from Morning Edition from National Public Radio. This time, a story coming out of Minnesota about the nonprofit Feeding Our Future and the verdict in that case.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Leila Faldig.
And I'm A. Martinez. A federal jury in Minneapolis has convicted two people in what federal prosecutors say was the nation's largest COVID fraud scheme. The founder and executive director of a Minnesota nonprofit called Feeding Our Future was found guilty of organizing a plan to rip off publicly funded child nutrition programs for almost $250 million. Jurors also said a former restaurant owner played a major role in that conspiracy. Matt Sepik of Minnesota Public Radio has been covering this. So, Matt, how do prosecutors say that this scheme got started?
Well, it involved two programs that the U.S. Department of Agriculture has operated since the late 1960s to provide food to kids from low-income families enrolled in after-school and summer activities. When COVID forced kids to stay home, the USDA allowed restaurants to participate in the food programs. Investigators say this and other rule changes, combined with lax government oversight, gave the conspirators an opportunity to get rich. Feeding Our Future founder Amy Bach and former restaurant owner Salim Saeed are among 70 defendants charged in the case. Prosecutors say the group set up hundreds of fake meal distribution sites. They used these to submit phony reimbursement claims replete with falsified invoices and attendance rosters listing fictitious children. Over 18 months, the group claimed to have served 92 million meals and collected nearly $250 million.
And how did prosecutors characterize all this at the trial?
Well, Assistant U.S. Attorney Joe Thompson called it a brazen and corrupt scheme that took advantage of a global pandemic and tarnished Minnesota's reputation for good governance.
It has become the shame of Minnesota. Hopefully, today's verdict will help turn the page on this awful chapter in our state's history.
After a five-week trial, the jury took only about 5 hours to reach its verdict. Bach's attorney, Ken Udoybach, says jurors likely made up their minds early on, and he's pledging to appeal.
What evidence did jurors hear?
FBI agents and forensic accountants recovered many six- and seven-figure checks, all of them signed by Amy Bach, and jurors saw stacks of them. From the start, prosecutors said that Bach organized Feeding Our Future to facilitate fraud and even created a phony board of directors. Ben Stayberg, a St. Paul bartender listed as board president, testified that Bach handed him what he thought was a petition about feeding children. He signed it, and then it was only years later, after the investigation became public and he saw his name in the New York Times, that Stayberg realized he was board president. The jury also heard testimony from six defendants who pleaded guilty and cooperated in the hopes of receiving lenient sentences.
All right, so what happens now in this case?
It'll be a few months before Bach and Saeed are sentenced, and Judge Nancy Brazel ordered them jailed until then. Several more defendants are scheduled to face trial in April. So far, more than half of the 70 defendants charged have pleaded guilty. Five others were convicted at a previous trial, and one received a sentence of 17 and a half years.
All right, that's Matt Sepik with Minnesota Public Radio. Matt, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
This is NPR News.
National Public Radio's Morning Edition. It's here on KAXE. I'm Heidi Holton with Kari Hedlund. We're people-powered radio in northern Minnesota. We're working on a series right now called Unplugged to help you kind of understand how we're funded and how we operate. They'll be on a lot of different issues. If you've ever had questions about, like, how does that even happen, or what goes on to make a story ready to go on the air for the news department or any of that kind of stuff, you can always send us a question at 218-326-1234. We've got our first article up and you can check it out, and we'll have one coming for you next week.
And our Record Store Day, our annual Record Store Day sale, is coming up on Saturday, April 12th. It'll be at Rail River Folk School in Bemidji. We are currently still accepting some vinyl donations through the end of the month at either Grand Rapids or Bemidji Studios during business hours. Call us if you have questions on that. 218-326-1234. We would like to thank Happy Dancing Turtle for their support of programming, a nonprofit organization dedicated to growing stewards through education, programs, and experiences. More information at happydancingturtle.org.
Tune in on Saturday night right after Green Cheese Trivia from 9 to midnight, and that is with the daughter-mom duo this week, right?
Christine Nordland and Janet Bredeman.
Yes.
Yeah, they're hosting Green Cheese.
And then after dark, we've got host Garrett playing punk rock.
Yeah, so this is a new program that we've rolled out with this year. It's 9 to midnight every Saturday, and it's our kind of opportunity to explore outside music outside of what we normally play on KAXE. So don't go in thinking you're going to hear what you hear throughout the rest of the week. Each host has their different slant of what they're interested in and what kind of music is outside of our realm. And Garrett is a local musician in Bemidji and loves some punk rock, which we're going to hear this Saturday. So tune in from 9 to midnight and tell your friends. We're still growing this program, and we created it knowing that there are lots of local scenes happening throughout northern Minnesota that don't exactly blend in with our typical format.
Punk and so, or metal.
Right. We're just trying to reach out to some communities that we know are active and happening throughout our area.
You've got some music here you want us to test out here, Kari.
Yeah, well, not just test out.
I know.
It was just released this week. Alan Sparhawk is coming out with a new album. It's his second solo album. And after the death of his wife, Mim, he has just, you know, low is no longer. So Alan released a solo album last year with lots of like vocal distortions. And it was, you know, not his voice. It was his voice, but you couldn't hear that it was his voice. And this one is a new one that he's coming out with Trampled by Turtles. And it is very different. His voice is on display and it's beautiful. This is Alan Sparhawk and Trampled by Turtles with Stranger.
Thank you.
That is brand new Minnesota music. Alan Sparhawk and Trampled by Turtles. They got together late in 2023. Trampled by Turtles invited Alan to join them at Pachyderm Studios. And he came with some unfinished songs, and they ended up working out some of his material. Can't wait to hear what the album is like. It's very classic Trampled instrumentation and background vocals there. And yeah, you'll be hearing more great music like that coming up in just a few moments on Headwaters with DJ Dang.
Coming up this Sunday, a couple of events in our region. The Bagley Senior Center has 11 to 2 at the American Legion, live music by Figuring It Out, and a meatball dinner. That all proceeds go towards a new roof for the Senior Center. And the Heartland Symphony is presenting a concert on Sunday at 2:30 at the Gitche Zibe Center for the Arts in Brainerd. It'll feature the premiere of Ian T. Jones' film music, a piece inspired by Radiohead. They'll perform the day before in Little Falls. And you can hear the conversation with the students who won the awards this year from Area Voices yesterday. That's available right now at KAXE.org.
And the Minnesota Department of Transportation is holding two open houses about Highway 210 construction through Brainerd on Tuesday, March 25th, both noon to 2 and from 4 to 6 at the Crowing County Land Services Building. The construction is scheduled for 2026 and 2027.
Okay, so coming up tomorrow, we'll be talking sports. I'm just going to say quickly that the Unrivaled ended on Monday night this week.
Okay.
Kind of short season for that, and it was a total upset. I probably won't have much time to talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to get it in right now.
Yeah, because of the way this whole league is set up, the Lunar Owls, which is Nafisha Collier's club.
Hootie-hoo.
They only lost one game the whole season. And so everyone assumed they'd be there. Nafisha had won the one-on-one game. And in the semifinals, they lost.
Big upset.
Well, because of the whole thing with the fourth quarter, they add 11 points. When the third quarter ends, whoever's ahead, they add 11 points to that. So the fourth quarter is whoever gets to that number first. So the Vinyl was the name of the club that won. They were behind 10 points. So they had to make up like 20 points, and they did it. And yeah, you just kind of felt for Nafisha, even though she's done really great.
But, yeah,
you know, the Lynx last year had such a tragic loss in the finals, and now she's dealing with this. And anyway, it was so great. Got me so excited for the Lynx season that begins